I'll do a bit strong.
Are you ready to face your rabbit's hand?
I am ready.
All right.
The band is ready. We're ready. Humor is a big part of my life, and it's a big part of my story, and there wasn't any in the wall, particularly in the movie. There was just a certain amount, I guess, in the album, but not very much. And consequently, the movie was a trifle dour to my taste. And so, if I rewrite The Wall for Broadway, which is something that I've started, a piece of work that I've started and that I can come back to from time to time, there will be laughs in it. Well, to be honest with you, Andrew, I don't listen to any, except that I did just get the new Randy Newman album, and which I've listened to once, which I think is wonderful sometimes. But by and large, I don't listen to music. I mean, I don't listen to the radio. I can't. There aren't any radio stations that I like to listen to, really, and I can't watch MTV. So I can't really answer that question because I don't know enough about it. But the faculty, that thing, I thought it was great.
You liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked the way they treated the line all in all. It's just another brick in the wall without any gaps in it, just running one syllable into the next. I thought that was very cool.
Sure.
Sure that the free market isn't the whole answer. My hope is that mankind will evolve into a more cooperative and less competitive beast as the millennia pass. If he doesn't well, kind of disappear in a puff of smoke. I don't know what that is, but if it's something to do with downloading from the internet, yeah, I'm sure it will have an enormous effect in the future. You know, it's like it's kind of, yeah, it's inevitable, and it will have a big effect. Well, I mean, what that effect will be, I don't know. There's something that people liked in the past, is like having an object, like owning a vinyl record, or even owning a CD, which had a package and had, you know, paper, something tangible that you could touch, and some of us enjoy that. It's obviously much more convenient to go to your computer terminal and say, okay, I'd like to buy that, and download it onto your hard drive. But there's a big but there as well. There's an enormous pleasure in record collections, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I've actually been rehearsing one song with the band just towards the end because we learned all the songs that we're going to be doing the show, and so I thought it would be good maybe to do one new song. So I've been working with it. Whether I'll actually perform it or not, I don't know. But I have some studio time set aside next February, and I've got a number of songs in the pipeline, and so I'm going to start working on a new album in February. Yeah, I've heard that rumor, and in fact, there have been moves afoot from some of my ex-colleagues, I think, to release something, and they sent me a cassette of that, those sessions, and my vote was no, don't release it. I just didn't like it. It was not well played, and I don't think it would have added anything to anything really. But then I'm not a collector. I doubt knocking on heaven's door, but I think that the record company will be releasing Lost Boys Calling, that they will put together a soundtrack album for the Tonatori movie, which is now being called The Legend of 1900, I think, in its English version. And Tonatori has finally agreed to edit it down from Covalonic, but it was very long in his first cut. I think he's editing it down to like 2 hours, so it will get a release. The movie will now get a release in North America. And when it does, Sony will put out the soundtrack album, and that song will be on it. Yes, there is not from this leg, but there's a real possibility that I may film it when I do some more gigs. Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. You know, it's what I talk about. Often I talk about how the magic of those early days was overwhelmed by the weight of numbers as we became more and more popular, and as we played bigger and bigger venues, and it became less and less about those magical moments of communication between our musicians and the audience, and less and less about that, and more about money and numbers and ego and all of that. So yeah, I think you're probably right. Having said that, I think the wall shows in 1980 were pretty special, but that was a different thing, because clearly that was much less of a band project, much more of my project. So as far as the band, they're cooperating and working together, yeah, I think those pre Dark Side of the Moon shows were, some of them were very special. We were being very experimental, and we were all kind of working together towards a common goal. I think this is a reawakening of something in me. It's certainly, I mean, we haven't done the first gig yet, but it feels, the rehearsals have felt very positive, and I'm really enjoying the whole process of putting the show together and, you know, and working with other musicians and rehearsing the band, doing all that stuff. It was always something that I enjoyed doing, and I'm really having fun. We met on July, the afternoon of July the 1st, and we did. We worked July 2nd through July 11th, I think. So we did 9 days. Well, we had a day off in the middle of that, so we did 8 days in Hampton Bays High School on Long Island. And then we moved the equipment, so we had another day off, and we moved to Calverton Naval Base in Riverhead, Long Island, into our hangar. And we worked there from the 12th or 13th until yesterday. They struck the gear, you know, yesterday, so that was, what day is it today? It's the 20th, is it? Yeah, so we worked till the 19th, so we did a week of production rehearsals, and then we've got 2 days of kind of production rehearsals in the gig in Milwaukee before we did the first show. We will be ready. Well, the song that I may perform live on this tour has a chorus, and the line that's central to the chorus is, "Each small candle lights a corner of the dark." And so I guess, yeah, the thing that I'm feeling compelled to write about is the idea of personal responsibility and personal worth and personal power, and that, you know, everybody counts, I think. I mean, that may seem pretty self-evident to a lot of people, but it struck me as it's very easy for us to see groups rather than individuals, nationalities, colors, creeds rather than individuals, and responsibility lies with the individual, not with the nation. The wall is coming out as a DVD quite soon, and I think that might be quite interesting. I've done some interviews for it. I've done a commentary. Jerry Scarf and I did the commentary through the whole movie, and we've done some film interviews and things, and James Guthrie has remixed the sound, and I'm not really very interested in any of that. I mean, I think it's great that they're doing that, and I'm sure these things are wonderful, but I don't really have time to focus on any of that. I actually don't really care about technology at all. I like Q-Sound because you get, you know, a dog barking in the next room, and it's cool. I'm not really interested in the technology. It's only a means to an end, and I'm certainly not an audiophile. At the moment, yeah, because it feels so good working with this band that I've been thinking, hey, yeah, why don't we play Europe? And beyond that, I haven't really thought. But I have a feeling that when we hit Atlanta on the 22nd of August, it won't be enough. We'll all be wanting to do more. And we will, I think. I'm actually in a very good, positive frame of mind. I feel I've worked through a lot of my own issues in the last 10 or 20 years. And I now feel more inside myself. And I feel more me than I ever have. And as regards the state of the globe, I'm encouraged by the noise that Greenpeace and other movements and Amnesty and like-minded people are making, and the notice that is being taken more and more, not only of that kind of agitprop, but also of work that is being done in the field of human psychology in terms of personal relationships, and I think individuals are getting a better chance to break the cycle of that tends to run from one generation to the next, because we have more information about how our emotions work and what makes us feel the way we do than we did, say, 10 or 20 years ago. So I'm generally optimistic that things are moving in the right direction, at least down one road. It may be a path less traveled, but it is being traveled, and that gives me hope. Oh, I couldn't list all of that. You know, I made the choices just by listening to the stuff over and over again and sitting with bits of paper, writing out lists with a pencil and crossing things out and just kind of retiming it and trying to get something balanced and something that would make a coherent piece of musical theatre when performed. It would have been very easy to, you know, consult the radio stations and say what the people like to hear most, you know, and then I would have ended up with probably 20 of the most popular songs, but it wouldn't have, that's what it would have been. It would have been a list of popular compositions rather than a concert. It's actually, I had an idea before we started all of this. In fact, it was the idea that I was going to use for Amused to Death, if I'd told Amused to Death, which was to use front projected still images. Well, they're not completely still, they can drift slowly from right to left or left to right. And using kind of minimal other light. And no kind of lighting shots over the stage. We have a bit of high stage lighting to the left and right of the stage, a lot of light on the stage, and then this big kind of hung grey material which acts as a screen. And that's what I've been doing for the last 2 days, is programming the lights and the projectors with the lighting designer and the show director and the guy who's been working with computers that work these projectors. They're called Piggy projectors. And some of the effects, I have to say, are stunning. I'm really happy about it, because it was a bit of a punt in the dark as to whether this would work or not. But it does, it looks great. And I'm carrying a quad system as well. I certainly don't remember that. I think we had a lot more. We had a lot of, you know, desire and energy at that point left in us. We would have gone on for years, I think, in one form or another, you know, trying to break into the world of recording. So, I don't know. I mean, it's very good, you know, it's difficult to. It's a kind of hypothetical question. I don't think that. I think they're all very excited. Yeah, the band is really working together very well. You know, John's great. He knew some of the songs because he's been on the road with Gilmore, and he's a big fan, and so he knows the stuff pretty intimately. And he's very good at. He uses a Kurzweil, and he's very good at programming it to create, to recreate rather authentic sounds from past songs, which is really useful because there's a nice warm feeling about a song starting it, you know, and you recognize the introduction because it sounds like, I'm talking specifically about things like Shine On Your Crazy Dance, which I'm doing for the first time. Well, I guess it's the first time it's been performed since the Animals tour, because we did Wish You Were Here and Animals on the concert. So he's great, and we have another people player, so there's a young English Hammond player called Andy Wallace. Andy Fell with a Low is, of course, in the band, who's indescribably wonderful. Snowy White is playing the guitar, as is Doyle Bramhall, the second. Who's great, and is also singing quite a lot of the Gilmore parts. Pat Arnold and Katie Cassoon are singing backgrounds, and they're both wonderful. Graham Bourne drumming. And that adds up to 9. That's all of us. I didn't hear the beginning of that question, but the answer is no. I would support that emotionally, and but not with time or energy. I need my energy and my time to do the work that I do, and I haven't arrived at a point yet where my energy isn't being begged by my work from me, if you see what I mean. I'm not ready to go and build a rehab clinic, if you know what I mean. Like Eric is doing, for instance, now, and he's putting most of his energy into that and not much of his energy into his music, and good luck to him, and I applaud him for that, but he's doing that because that's what he feels he wants and needs to do, and his energy is being drawn into that arena. Because that's what's there for him now. What this lady was describing is not what's there for me now. Well, for those of you who are coming to the shows, see you then. And for everybody else, thank you for your interest and support. It's heartwarming.
Very good. Thank you.